Welcome to Living the Reiki Life podcast. Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Christy, and we're coming at you from the Prairie Province of Saskatchewan, Canada.
We met in the corporate world over a decade ago and became great friends. We started our Reiki journey together, and now we are Reiki masters. Follow along as we navigate life living the spiritual world while still working the 9-to-5.
We gather twice a month to chat all about Reiki and our Reiki journeys, energy healing, and other healing modalities.
We are going to interview some of our gurus and cover a vast majority of topics that we find interesting, and hopefully you do too. Let's get at it.
Okay, welcome guys. Welcome to Living the Reiki Life podcast. You're here with Christy and Amanda. And this week it is episode 24, and it's going to be a good one. I'm super excited about this one. When I was making notes about it, it's a topic that we both really enjoy talking about. We got lots of stories to share, so we can't wait to dive in. But first of all, we'll just see what's going on in Amanda's world.
Yes, hello. Let's see what's going on with me. We just bought a grounding mat for our bed, and it's one of those mats that actually fit the whole bed. It's not just like a strip across the bed that some of them have. We've only had one night on it. And it's funny, I was trying to like tune in to see if I could really feel the grounding mat. And I did. I could feel like my body buzzing a bit, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I don't know if I would say I slept phenomenal, but I feel good today. So there's that. And I was up early, like always, no problem. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, especially in winter, you know, when we can't really go outside and really get as grounded as maybe we would like to be. So I'm glad to have it. And then it just plugs in to the grounding spot in the outlet. So that's it. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Well, that's how it works. So you don't need to do any rewiring. You just plug it in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll have to find out where you got it from. I would love to try one.
Yeah, I should have had that prepared. Sorry, everybody. But I will post it on my Instagram. So I'll have that there. By the time this episode comes out, it'll probably already be on there. So just reference that.
Yeah, I'd love to check that out, because that's something that I always need to ground. Like, I'm always ungrounded. Like, my crown is always, I'm top heavy. So I need to have that grounding. And just like to hop into bed and not even think about it. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a win.
Yeah, I would say so. So with my intention for the astrological new year was to meditate. And honestly, I have been struggling with it. I haven't been setting time aside every day. I've been kind of just doing it sporadically when I have time. So I came across an app on Instagram, and it's actually by Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, you know, she's part of Goop. And I don't know. Some people are like her. Some people hate her. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I feel like Goop has produced like a lot of good topics and different things to open people's eyes. And she's used her, I don't know, like being a celebrity, she's got lots of access to people, and I don't know, I don't mind her. But anyways, it's an app that she created, and it's called Moments, and it's like a waking meditation. Like, you can meditate with your eyes open and you can walk while you listen to this meditation, or you can close your eyes, and there's all these different options. Like, I just listened to one this morning. I couldn't get going on something, and it was about procrastination. And it was like a little 8-minute blurb to get you going. And like, you're picturing yourself doing this task. And it was just a nice little boost to get you going. And there's like 3-minute ones, like none of them are too long. And that's what I needed to just get focused. You know, you just don't even think about it. You just hit play and you're good to go. And there's like different themes, like if you overthink or you want to open your heart or connect to your body. I don't know. I really love it. And it's not even that much money. Of course, you get the free trial, but it was like $19 for 3 months, which isn't that bad. So we'll see if this works. We'll go from there. I'll give you guys an update.
Yeah. I think $20 in 3 months. I definitely spent $20 on way worse things that I haven't even looked at, probably. And you know, I'm actually a Gwyneth Paltrow fan. I really liked the season or series, and I thought there was a really a lot of good takeaway. And like everything, right? Take what resonates, leave what doesn't. But I like that she has a platform like that to reach people. I know a lot of people were in a really big piss though about her episodes, and I like why.
They're just closed-minded. I think there, a lot of people put celebrities like in a category, and it's just like, well, you don't know about health and wellness. What do you know? This isn't your business. But she's created like an empire. She's pretty successful at it. And just the people she brought in, there's that one woman, I think, that wrote a book. She was like her right-hand woman. I forget her name, but she's, I love listening to her. Frick, I forget her name, but she's just very wise and very well-spoken, and I don't mind it. I used to listen to her podcast all the time, but I haven't in a while. Maybe I'll see what's going on with it.
Hmm. I didn't even know she had one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Lots of different topics, and I don't think she was interviewing on it, though. I think it was somebody else, kind of like Lacey Phillips, how she has Jessica in there. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay. So astrological forecast update just for the last half of April. We still have that full moon in Scorpio coming on the 23rd. So again, just focus on those flowers blooming after the cold winter is subsiding. And time to release and let go of just anything that's still hanging around or lingering that's not really making you feel that great. So we're into that spring season. And now is the time to just focus on what is working. The flowers that are coming up after this cold season, and just try to be mindful, I guess, of it. You know, it's that death, the death and the rebirth here.
Still going through that. And it's funny, spring is coming. Like, it's going to be warm today. And then on Tuesday, it's going to be like plus 20, which is insane. And there's still so much snow in my backyard. It's going to be all gone. Can't wait.
You know, fantastic. Yes.
And you know, it's funny. I was telling Troy, I was like, you know what? Like, spring is my favorite because I was born in spring. And I was like, I love when everything just is melting and looks dirty. I just love it. And he's like, you're weird. And I was like, no, because it's part of the whole cycle, right? And then I was thinking, like, why do I love this? And it's part of healing. You know, when you see someone on Instagram and they're living their best life, you don't see their spring. You never see somebody's spring, like all the dirty and ugly parts. It's like, it's part of the cycle. It's like, why not embrace it and find the beauty in it? And I just really like seeing the mud, and then the trees are blooming, and then the birds are coming. I just really love spring.
Yeah, no, it's so true. You never do see like the dirty car. You only see the good side. That's right. It's funny that that's your favorite season.
I know.
Yeah, it's exciting because you just know what else is coming next, too. It's like the great start.
Yes, I can't wait for summer. I was looking at my gazebo and I was like, I can't wait to get all my patio furniture out. I'm already planning my garden, what to plant this year. And yeah, it's just a great time to come alive.
Awesome. Yes. So today we are talking about Reiki, of course, and connecting in with your spirit guides. So when Christy and I do Reiki, we generally read the chakras and we connect in usually with their spirit guides or even our spirit guides during a session, and they will chime in and help us out with just advice that is needed for the client with what's going on in this time and space, like what's going on right now. And we thought it would be a great idea to just kind of talk more about it and give people more insight, especially if they, you know, or thinking about getting a Reiki session. I'm sure this is something you could maybe ask your practitioner to do. Although, yeah, I would definitely ask first. I shouldn't say that all of them would do that. I actually don't know if a lot actually do. Do you know, Christy? I think it's just something that we've kind of just started and it's always been open to us. So we just shared what's come through.
Yeah. Like, I think during Reiki sessions, maybe you might receive one little message from a spirit guide, like one little token message. But with like my sessions, it's like every chakra has like a story, And the spirit guides are just coming through like full force. So yeah, I think everybody would be different with how they connect to the guides. And sometimes you have masters coming through or angels or, and sometimes it's hard to decipher which is which, like if you're clairvoyant or if you feel like I feel like now I know who's coming through. Like I've had Mother Mary come through in sessions before, and I don't know much about like her as like a religious figure, right? Cause I didn't grow up religious, but from what she has taught me and learned me, it's like all about the love and the motherly and the rose. And it's just really beautiful. I love when she comes by, like my heart just bursts open and I can feel her love. But yeah, anyways, let's get back to spirit guides here. So how would you describe a spirit guide, Amanda?
So first off, what is a spirit guide? So it is said that we all have assigned guides to help us go through this like existence. So before we incarnate, we are assigned certain helpers, if you will, to go through life. So they watch over us, they support us, and we can call on them and ask for help. So everyone has at least one guide for sure, is what I believe. I believe we have guides also that meet us where we're at. So, and then some that'll help us like right from the get-go. So I've done Reiki sessions on clients where I feel like someone will chime in and give guidance to deal with a certain situation that they're in. And they are here to focus on just that specific thing. So for sure, I believe we are all born with like one. And that I believe that they stick with us through our whole incarnation. And then we have other guides that come in and support us during certain pivotal moments in our life, if they believe. What do you think?
Yep, I agree with that 100%. You have like your OG guide from your first breath all the way till your last breath. And that's like their main focus is you. They're with you all the way. And then as you go through life and like you said, pivotal moments, guides will pop in and help you. And I feel like when you reach like 50 or 60, like when you don't need as much guidance, they start to fall away. And you have like you still have that one main guide, like that you can refer to. And I also believe that spirit guides have walked the earth before. I believe that they have been in a human incarnation and know what earth school is all about. So say you're setting up a life, like you're over in the astral plane, you're meeting with your soul family, you're figuring out who's going to be the soul guide, who's going to actually come to earth and experience this incarnation. And they say it's like worse than planning a trip to space that NASA does. Like there's so much planning that goes into this. Apparently that's what I've heard. And it's so say like you want to experience a lot of happiness, joy, loss, grief. Like on the other side, they don't look at say grief or sadness as a good or bad thing. They just look at it as an experience. So it's like I see like a classroom full of people and it's like, okay, who wants to take this one? And then one brave soul puts their hand up. Okay, like I'm going in. And then someone else would be like, hey, I want to learn about this, but I don't necessarily want to go experience it because I know how hard it is. I'll be your guide. I'll be on the other side cheering you on and I will help you. So that's how I picture it all playing out on the other side.
Yes, I believe like I've dove into Dolores Cannon a lot. So she does quantum healing hypnosis and she takes people into what's called like a dead state. And she asked about guides and things like that. And yes, I believe that they have incarnated on Earth and they're more advanced. So they've had lots of incarnations. Their souls are more at an advanced level that they are able to hold the space that we need here while we're incarnated. So it would be just like the dean of the college helping the student at the university kind of a deal. So that's what I believe too, that they are there for that. And there's different levels of guides, more advanced, less advanced. Ones that you're here to help, you know, the toddler work through the toddler steps. And then, you know, when you're going to high school and then when you're going through maybe being a mother for the first time, there's just different levels of guides that'll come in during those moments. And yes, it is like a whole NASA thing. Like you were saying, that's a huge deal because everything affects everything else. And We are here to learn specific experiences this time around. And they want to make sure we're completing those goals. Mm-hmm. So it is a big plan that they have to put through, I guess. Blueprints.
Oh, yeah. A lot of planning. Because you just think of like even your soul family and people you're supposed to incarnate with. And then the person you're supposed to learn that lesson of sadness through or the happiness through. Like, it's just so much. I don't even think our human brains can even accept that concept of how big of a plan it is. So this is a way that I like to explain spirit guides to my clients. This guidance actually came through from a spirit guide. And so the spirit guide is the passenger in a vehicle, and we are the ones driving the vehicle. So we have our hands on the wheel, and the spirit guides is holding the map and giving us directions. But at the end of the day, we're in charge of that car, and we know which way to turn. And I also look at the universe as being the road. So how the universe will give you a bump in the road or a detour or some heavy rain or some beautiful scenery to take in. That's the whole universe's plan. Like, they have a plan for you and you're in charge still driving the car. And those guides, like, their main focus is they have your best interest at heart. Like, this is their job. Like, they, like, their 24/7 job. Like, I'm sure they have fun doing other things sometimes, maybe. I don't know. But it's like they are fully supporting you. And I also like to think about enjoying the journey. Like, when you're driving in that car, when you're driving through life, you like to take in the landscape and the different people you'll meet, or you'll stop and try a different restaurant. So that's just like all metaphorical to the memories and lessons you collect along your journey in life as well. And if you think of a road trip, like, a road trip by yourself is not near as much fun as somebody else with you. So yeah, that's just the way I like to explain the spirit guide, because it's a good visual.
Yeah, that's a great visual. Really easy mm-hmm. to follow. And another thing important to remember is that spirit guides will not interfere with our lives unless we actually ask them for help. So, like, we are here to learn the lessons this time around for our own spiritual growth. They are not going to interfere. They will try to, obviously, you know, if you're going to be in a spot where you shouldn't because your safety is at risk. I know there is certain times where intervention will be taken, but other than the nudges, like, don't go in there, go this way, they will not interfere with our own free will. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I feel like it's different than the angels, because the angels absolutely will not interfere at all unless we ask for their help. But I feel, or the spirit guide is always with you, so they're always going to chime in. Whether I've asked for their guidance or not, it's always some type of advice coming through different ways. And lately I was really stubborn about something and they came through and they were just giving me shit. Like, it's not really like giving you shit. I find I have one guy that it's very like tough love. Like, you know, why are you being this way? You need to see things this way and let go of the little things. Like, they just have such good guidance because they're above. They have the bird eye view of the whole situation. So they are the best person to ask when you need guidance, I feel. And when I'm connecting, it can be like a faint whisper in the background. You know, I've had times where I couldn't find my keys and then I ended up missing an accident on the highway. So it's like they have that all planned out, I feel. And they're your best interest at heart all the time, 24/7. But this also plays into, when is your own intuition turning on versus your spirit guide? So that's like another layer to connecting with your guides, is feeling, is that my intuition or is that my guide? Or maybe to some people, it doesn't matter who it is, where this guidance is coming from. It's just important that you listen to it. Can you tell the difference between like intuition and your guide talking to you?
I kind of feel like they're almost the same thing, actually. I Like when I get that intuition, I guess I think it's my higher self, actually. When I'm trying to tune in and get answers, or let's say I'm in a situation, I'm reading my cards and I'm looking at the cards. Well, I feel like that's my higher self actually coming in and giving me the answers. Even when I pulled cards for our listeners today, I kind of feel like that's my higher self and my intuition coming in rather than my guides, because I don't need guidance at that time, if that makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, and I feel... when I can feel stuff in my stomach, like if my stomach does a flip and tells me like, you need to leave this situation, at that time, I feel like it would be my intuition. Mm. But it's also, is your guide sparking your intuition to make you feel that way too? So I don't know. I think I might pay attention to this a little bit more and just see if I can notice a difference. I haven't really thought about it too much, actually.
And see, that's funny. But that flip in the stomach, like it's time to leave. I feel like that would be a spirit guide for me.
Yeah.
Being like, this isn't on the path. You need to get out of here. This was not agreed upon for you to go to this random person's house after the party. Get out. You know, it's like, this is not aligned to the mission. Abort. Yeah. I feel like that would be almost a guide for me.
And I could see them like trying to whisper that to you or like, putting like roadblocks in your way and you're not listening. And then finally they're like, okay, well, let's do a flip in the stomach. She will not ignore that. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Yoo-hoo. Like, get out. Totally. As I mentioned earlier, when I'm doing a Reiki session, Christy and I both, we will read the chakras and I'll tell my client what's going on. Almost like I'm reading someone's cards. Really, it's kind of the same thing. Then when I'm over the chakras, sometimes advice will start to come through. And it can be words of wisdom in a sense, or sometimes it can be sort of blunt and even a little rude. So I was helping a friend when I was doing Reiki. And it was like this Russian woman. Like, she was very beautiful and strong-willed, came in and started really telling my friend to like almost like buck up. The advice, I was kind of like, whoa, like that's really harsh. Can you say that? And like, I didn't even really want to relay it to my client, but I almost really just had to trust in that they need to hear this and time to be blunt in a way, but it really felt awkward. So I find spirit guides can really be really frank and right to the core of what you need to hear. And they're not going to mess around, because when they're at this point, it's like they're frustrated. And you need to just pick up your socks and move on. Yeah, it was pretty funny. They were even calling them a wussy, which was rude, but, you know, needed to hear. And then they were like, yeah, you know, this is the friend. This is the real honest friend that you need right now. Mm-hmm. That's going to not just tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear right now. So you can continue living your life in a better space. So I find too, I don't know if we touch upon this, like the difference between like, tuning into archangels and guides. Guides are way more blunt.
Yes.
And I find angels are way more heart-centered. Like, not that your guides aren't, but angels are more like love and soft and come here, little one. Guides are like, hey, stop doing that. Like, what are you doing? So I find that definitely, that's when I know the difference between a guide and archangels for sure.
Yeah, 100%. The only angel I find that can be blunt is Archangel Metatron. I find because he's ruled by Saturn, and Saturn's like the planet where if you're not doing shit, they're going to mess stuff up. So you start doing shit right. And he's gotten frustrated with me too. But it is like a direct way, but still not as blunt as a spirit guide. The spirit guide has like that humanness to them, and they know how to get through to you too. So I don't know. I don't get my feelings hurt, but sometimes I'm just like, oh, I was like, that was harsh. Like, shit.
Totally. Totally. It is.
Yeah, but it's good.
It's like you're being scolded from a parent.
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I find it easier to connect into someone else's spirit guides than even my own. So I've been trying for a long time to really get that clear channel and try to get messages for myself, of course. Even it's kind of like the same when I'm reading my own tarot cards. But now I've come to a point where I remove myself and I think, okay, if this was a client, how would I read these cards? And I would read them like this, removing my own personal situations out of the mix. And I try to do that even for when I'm connecting with my spirit guides. And I find the easiest way is when I'm driving in my car. I just picture them in the car with me and I just, like, I'm having a conversation with them and I just try to listen for little answers that come through. And that is the way that I personally have started trying to connect in with my guides on my own.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny you're in the car because I can picture them. You're driving the car and they're in the passenger seat and they got the map out. It's like, hey, where are we going? What do we need to know? What do we need to pack? And just like planning things out. And even when you first start to connect, sometimes you might just have a feeling or you might just have one word come through. Like, don't expect like a full sentence, like a full thing to come through. Like I find with my journey, I guess I started connecting with clients' guides more than my own. Like Amanda said, I also find it way easier to connect with clients' guides. But I do like how you are removing yourself and picturing like how would I relay this to a client? I like that. And that's something else that I'm really practicing in the Akashic Records is I am just the messenger. I am just the reporter. Like, you know, you're just standing on TV with the microphone and you're just reporting whatever you're seeing. Like it's not up to me to, you know, try and figure out exactly what it is. It's just like you just report. So that's like one of my lessons and stuff I'm moving through right now. But yeah, anyway, my experience with connecting to people's guides is I started doing Instagram card polls for free. I got a new card deck and I wanted to try it out. So I was like, oh, I'll just throw it out there. Does anybody have a question? And I'd sit down with my card deck, pull a card, and then I would just start typing. I was on my phone at this point and I would just typing all this stuff that would come through. And it wouldn't even register what I was typing till I went back and read it. And it was, some of it was like the most beautiful advice, like the way they talked. It was, you knew the person on the other end was so full of wisdom. And after that, I started bringing it into my Reiki sessions. Like we said, we'd scan the chakra and then I'd sit down and just start typing. It's like automatic writing, but I'm typing. And sometimes I couldn't even keep up to what was coming through. I'd be like, okay, slow down. Like, let's just take a breath here. And lately I've been showing pictures of things, but sometimes it's a little tricky because it's a game of charades. Like they'll show me a picture of this and it's like, well, I don't know what that means. So I have to sit with it and figure out, like, okay, what does that mean to me? Because spirit guides are very intelligent. They work with you and they know how to relay a message through you because they know how you will relate to things. And some of the most beautiful guidance has come through Reiki sessions when I connect to other people's guides. Like I'll send it out to my client and I'll go back and read it. And I'll be like, damn, that was some good advice. Like I could take that into my own life. So I've saved all those messages that have come through. And there was one that came through just recently and it was all metaphorical. You know how I like a good metaphor. So that is how my guides communicate through me. And so, of course, I seen a flash of this big wood wheel, you know, it would be like on the side of a cottage and it would spin and collect the water. And I didn't know for the longest time what those wheels were, but they actually generate energy as they create or as they spin and pick up water. And at first I was like, well, what does this mean? I started to kind of panic. So I was like, well, I don't know. So of course, slow down, take a deep breath. And then started to come together. So the story here for my client was the job of this wheel, of course, is to pick up the water, generate the energy. But if it's picking up too much water and not dumping out the excess as the wheel goes around, this wheel's going to eventually break because it's taking on way too much weight. So yes, this was a huge metaphor. You only have so much room for your own water. And you need to take care of yourself. So if you're taking other people's water, like other people's problems onto your wheel, and you can't even hold your own water, something is going to give. Like this wheel is going to break. So it was a message. You have to look after your own energy first, more than anything, because you are the one that generates your own power and energy. Nobody else. Like, you are in the driver's seat. And it was also a message about setting some strong boundaries. So you decide who you take the water in from. And it's okay to tell someone like, hey, I can't take your bucket of water today. I do not have space for this. And sometimes people aren't going to like that, but you need to take care of yourself first and keep your wheel spinning at a healthy speed and a healthy weight, because you need to take care of you.
Yeah, that's so good. Those metaphors are so funny. Sometimes I'll see something that is what I think is a metaphor and I'll say it. And then, for example, they'll be like, no, I have that wheel outside my house. And you're like, oh, they've actually just hit it right on the head. I've had that recently too. I'm like, oh, this is literally exactly what it means. So yeah, I find that there's not enough words in our human language sometimes mm-hmm. for them to communicate with us. It's like our vocabulary isn't big enough. So they have to, you know, communicate it to us in words that we can understand or be able to relay to the client. And it is so funny, like you said, trying to crack the code and like a puzzle, but just saying what it comes. And then sometimes something will come into the throat or the third eye. And then I get to the sacral. I'm like, oh, this is connected to this. And that's why this is like that. And that's why they showed me that. And then it all comes together and you're like, yes. Because sometimes I'll be on something and I'll be like, well, you know, let's just take note of this and then we'll leave it alone. And we'll see. Yeah, we'll come back, do a lap, and then we'll see if it makes sense. And you know, it might not even be this session. Sometimes I find even in the next session, like, oh, remember when that came through? It's because of this. And now it's this and everything's connected. So I love that. That's so funny about the metaphors. Yeah.
I love that too. And it is funny how those dots all connect. Because of course we start at the crown when we're doing Reiki. And yeah, sometimes some of the stuff doesn't make sense, but I get down to the root and it's like, oh, it just like all comes together in like this neat little story. I just love when that happens. And even when I scan the chakra and say it's feeling like a little dense, and I sit down, type out the message, what's going on, and then I go back to the chakra and it feels lighter. It's almost like there's a weight there. And you needed to hear that message so you can release some of that stuck energy there as well. So another neat metaphor I wanted to share, I actually shared this one on Instagram because I loved it so much and it resonated with me in my life as well. So I first saw like a drop cloth, paint and paintbrushes, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? So I sat with it again. I was like, okay, this is another metaphor. I'm ready. So the message that came through, I wrote it out like this is the way I told my client. So I wrote it out kind of in like a story. So it says, when painting your perfect picture of your future, just know that things can get messy and the paintbrush may slip at first and the picture can look ruined. But if you take a step back and look at it with a new perspective, this new paint stroke can turn into something even better than the perfect picture you first imagined. So your guides are reminding you that you have the power to pick the paint and paint your own picture. The picture of your life is something you have to look at every day and make sure you paint it exactly how you envision it, not how someone else may envision it. So this message was about like living life for you, not for others, not the way that others think you should live your life. Like say an over-controlling mom or a friend or someone in your life that is really influencing your decisions for the future. So if you're doing something against the norm, someone thinks you're crazy, just do it anyways. Grab the paintbrush and paint your own artwork, because that's what really we're here to do. We're here to make a mess, really, and enjoy it along the way. And we have the help of our guides, of course.
Yeah, it's super. It's such a good message too.
So another thing we wanted to talk about was when people get really hung up on what their guide looks like and what their name is, like they're an actual person. But it, like in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter what their name is or what they look like. Like for me, it's more of a feeling when I connect to a guide rather than what they look like. But sometimes I have seen a guy in a full, like, look like a person, like a wizard, like with a white beard, just a really wise man. Or I've seen like an older, like witchy type looking woman. But a lot of the time it's just an energetic frequency. Like I can feel masculine energy and I can feel like that softness of a grandpa, that they're wise, they're strong, but compassionate. And I guess some people really want to know like a name and picture them, what they look like. Maybe that you like, maybe you can build a relationship better that way. But I never felt like that was important to me, but everyone's different. How do you feel about it, Amanda?
You know, I heard once that we should never give like guides a gender or names because names hold such a heavy vibration. So does gender.
Yes.
And I think on the other side, there is none of either.
No.
So you're just a being of love and light. So in that, I think about that, but I find it's easier for me to be like, okay, you know, John, can you just give me guidance here, you know, just so it's easier for me to call one in. But to be honest, I never give mine a name or a gender now that I think about it. I just call them my A-team.
Yeah, I still love that.
I'd say like, A-team, assemble, like when I'm in the car or when mm-hmm. I'm meditating. And that's kind of it. So I don't actually think of one single person as a gender. I just kind of feel like if I need them to be motherly, they'll turn on the feminine side. Yeah. If I need like good decision making and maybe be a little bit more headstrong or making business moves or really stepping with my masculine side forward to get stuff done, they'll kind of turn towards that masculine side. I guess that's how mm-hmm. I look at it.
Yeah. I could see that too. It's like you have that one guide and yeah, say you were asking for business advice, that guide be like, okay, I'll tap out. I don't know much about this. And then the other guide comes forward is like, okay, I got you. And then, yeah, that guy might have more of that masculine, that more yang energy to get things going. And I don't believe you'd ever be sent the wrong guide either when you call upon them. I just be clear with your message and your intention, I would say, would be good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is good advice. So that intention is huge for sure, especially when you're trying to connect. I meant to say that earlier. And yes. Yeah, when you're trying to connect, just set that intention. You're doing a Reiki session, set that intention. Want to get some advice here, connect in, or want to connect in for my client. Can you come with us today, be there during the session? Yes.
Yeah, because we were taught to always call in the angels and spirit guides before every session of the highest vibration. So they always come in. And even I was listening to one podcast about this one woman that was doing readings and her friend was there and she was watching her friend do the readings and she could actually see spirit. She had that gift. And she said when this lady would start a session and call in the spirit guide, she would see all the guides come into the room. They'd all walk in. And they're all so invested in the client and their best interest at heart. Like they're all working together. Like, how can we get this done? How can we release this emotion? Like, what message can we give her to move through this heartache or whatever was going on? And then she'd be done the session and she'd watch all the guides leave. And then again, she'd start another session and all the guides, different guides would come in. So I thought that was really neat to actually see that. That would be really cool.
You know, that actually reminds me of a story. I was doing Reiki on a client and I think I was clearing some maybe heavy grief out of a certain chakra. And I remember all of a sudden I could just see like in my mind's eye, the table was just surrounded by people. It was me. And then there was people like all around me watching and just holding the space. And I thought, wow, like everybody's here. This is like really intense and amazing and so supportive. Like we're so supportive always, even when it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
You have so many people rooting for you and cheering you on. And oh, so beautiful. I can't believe I forgot about that. Yeah, it was wonderful. Just there. Yes. That would have been really cool to see. Like with like more than just my third eye, I guess.
Yeah, to actually like see the room fill up. And that's even, I can't remember if I shared this story about Ren when like my puppy, when I called in the angels and guides, she was looking over my shoulder and looking at someone like behind me, and she was kind of freaking out. So I was like, oh, okay, you see the guides. And even I've seen guides in my third eye, of course, and they all line up in a row, and it's like kind of like a horseshoe though, and they're like a half circle. They're supporting you, and they're polite, like they'll step forward one at a time to give guidance. And then I also see like another row, and that's usually like loved ones, and they're usually pretty quiet. They kind of sit there and they just kind of watch everything that's going on, and sometimes they come forward because I like to set an intention that let's all give each other a chance to talk. Like, don't come at me all at once because I won't be able to deliver a message. So let's, you know, it's like putting up your hand in school. Okay, your turn. I just find, you know, you have to have some kind of rule and order still when you're working with the spirit world. But,
you know, I find that too. You're talking about Ren. I always notice when Bo is looking, like my son is kind of looking off into the distance. It's because kids have that sight still. And they usually will till I think it's, what's the age? Maybe seven. From like six, seven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They start to lose it. If it's not being nurtured, it'll die off. So I always kind of look because kids, you know, when they have imaginary friends, they are like, they're talking to spirit, either maybe it's a past loved one or a guide or an angel. You know, you hear stories like that all the time about kids. So I always kind of like take note of my son who's off into the distance and looking like that.
Yes. And I actually have a story about this that came full circle a while ago through a Reiki session. So I remember when I was young, it was before age seven, of course, I had an imaginary friend and her name was Shelly. She had blonde curly hair and she was like a princess and I loved her like so much. And we played together like all the time. We had tea parties and she played dolls with me and Barbies. And I just always thought, like as I grew older, it was just my imaginary friend. I just made her up in my mind and I really wanted a friend to play with. And I just imagined her there. But the weird thing was during a Reiki session, when I was healing the part where, like at a week old, I had to go through a surgery. I don't want to keep bringing this up, but this is part of the story. But when I was healing after the surgery and I was in an incubator, like, you know, when the babies are all in that room by themselves, when I went back in my Reiki session and I saw myself laying there, I saw my spirit guide Shelly and somebody else standing over the incubator, like keeping me company and giving me love. And I was like, okay, I recognize her. Where do I see her from? And I was like, holy shit. I was like, that is my imaginary friend. That is Shelly. So it just shows that if your kid has an imaginary friend, it most likely is a spirit guide. It could also be like a loved one, like a past grandpa or uncle or something like that. But my advice is to, yes, nurture it. Like Amanda said, don't ever shut it down. Just be open and let them tell you all about it and write it down. I think it'd be really neat, like say when they turn 20 and they want to look back at the things that they're experiencing and seeing, and they have like a little diary and that they can reflect back on, or even send or save a little voice note in your phone or just note it somewhere, because we think, oh, we'll remember, but 20 years later, maybe you won't. But yeah, just always nourish that in your kids. Don't shut down that imagination, because it is something, it's a gift and it's beautiful to keep that going.
It is a gift. And ask more questions and let them just be creative and flex that creativity muscle in our brains. It's so important. I agree. Such good advice. And we wanted to give other advice. So if you're trying to connect in with your spirit guides, how do you go about it? So we kind of touched on this a little bit, but we wanted to just give more things of what we do personally. And of course, it always comes back to meditation. If you are busy, 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 and you are constantly having noise everywhere around you, how can you hear the answer of the questions you're trying to ask? So you need to sit in that silence and listen. It's the biggest one. And I know it sounds like a broken record, and I know I need to do it more, be in meditation, if I really wanted to, you know, advance myself and get more of those answers that I seek. but we definitely need to sit in meditation and embrace that silence. So like I said, a lot of the times when I'm driving in my car, I kind of listen to nothing now. I'm officially an old lady. So I find it's the best time. I can unload. I can just talk things out through the day, and I can just sit and listen to my guides. And I can see if my car is acting up too, I guess, at the same time.
That's right. So I just turn up the radio. It'll go away. That clunk. And yeah, I 100% agree. You got to quiet your mind so you can hear the whispers. And I know I've seen this meme before where it shows you have all these tabs open in your mind and you have all these browsers and unsaved files and there's music going on in the background. So how are you supposed to hear something that you normally don't hear if you have that much noise in the background? It's like sitting at a busy restaurant and somebody phones you and you expect to hear them clearly. It's like, it's not possible. Like, you have to remove yourself from that situation. Like, you have to put in the work to quiet your mind. And, you know, I should practice what I preach here, because I was slacking 1 week about not quieting my own mind down. And I had a Reiki client and I was ready to begin. And I felt my guides come in. And they were giving me shit. They were like, you expect to have this amazing reading and you didn't connect with us. You didn't quiet your mind this week. So you just expect to sit down and everything come through. Like, you need to put in the work. And during the session, I was doing like the Reiki, right? But a lot of the guidance that usually comes through wasn't coming through at first. And I was starting to panic. So they like literally gave me the silent treatment for like the first 10 minutes. Like, to teach me a lesson. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I heard you loud and clear this time. I was like, okay, yep, here we go. And another thing is setting an intention, like we talked about, is very powerful. We don't give intention enough credit. And I find if you want to choose like a tool, you don't need a tool, but if you wanted to, like, this is where I started, right, with the Oracle cards, and just start by pulling a card like once a day and just sit with it and just tell your guides, I'm pulling this card. Please speak through me, or please speak to me through this card, and just see what happens. And even automatic writing. I know a lot of people like that. Or you can draw, you could paint, like anything that you find where you can connect to a different energy. And when I call on my guides, I always say of the highest vibration. That's something I've always done. Not something that you have to do, but it's just something I've always done. And even like when you think about building a relationship with someone, when you first meet a friend, you're not going to invite them to Mexico for a week. Like, I don't know this person. I don't know if they like to travel, if they travel well, if they're adventurous. Like, you don't know any of those things yet. So when you start connecting with your guide, you go in baby steps. Like, of course, you know each other at a really deep spiritual level, but like at a human level, you got to take it easy. You know, you kind of have to feel their energy, like, and just go from there.
Yeah. And I wanted to also stress too, like, you don't need to sit in the lotus position to have like a meditation connect in. You can go for a walk, have a walk-in mm-hmm. meditation. You just need to find that silence. So yep. If that seems like too much work to carve out 20 minutes to sit somewhere and not do anything, well, walk the dog, you know, and try to like kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That is also, and that Mia magic that I really like, she always talks about that automatic writing, and she says a little thing first, again, setting that intention. She always says, I call upon, and you can say my higher self or my spirit guides to write to me, through me, anything that I'm supposed to receive in this moment, and then just start writing. And that's a really great way if you find that's more kind of concrete, if you will, than trying to be like, am I just making this up? Am I hearing something that, I don't know. And then you can kind of look back on it after and be like, oh, that was really good. I really like what I wrote there. That sounds really nice. And then you kind of be like, I don't think that was actually me. Or even sometimes I know people, like, the handwriting will actually change when it's being channeled like that, which is really neat. I feel like that's kind of a more advanced setting, but yeah, super cool.
Yeah, that is really neat. And even when I first started automatic writing, I just held the pen on the paper and it would just move and I'd do all these weird scribbles and I just watched it. So that's like a good place to start too if you can't start writing words. But I really love that intention from Mia Magic. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's really good.
And another way I receive messages from my guides is like through clouds. I've seen pictures in clouds and I know it's my guides relaying a message to me. I've even received a message through someone else that I knew was from my spirit guide, through animals, like a rabbit crossing the street on my way to work, just like different things or number sequences, connecting with the trees. There's so many ways. And they will find a way to connect with you and how you work. Like, it's going to be special to you. Just because I could see something in the clouds doesn't mean like that's going to happen for you. You will find your niche with your guides once you build that relationship. And you don't have to doubt or ask for a sign that they are there, because they are always there. This is their job. You are the main character on the stage and this is your show. This is your life. And the spirit guides are like the ones working behind the scenes, you know, like the stage hands and making sure the show goes on and the perfect lighting and pulling the curtain up and throwing your co-stars on the stage. Like, you just have to know that they are always, always there.
And if you're a practitioner, Reiki practitioner, or you give anybody readings, I find a lot of message actually come through for me when I'm giving somebody else a reading. So I was giving my client the message that came through and I was like, this kind of sounds like it's a little bit for me too. And then my Reiki client will just add to it and I'll be like, oh, okay, that's for me to hear. So it's like I'm receiving messages that way, which honestly is like the best way. And I'm sure other people can relate, being like, oh, that's supposed to be for you to take in as well. So it's another really good way that I receive messages from my guides.
Yes, 100%. They are so intelligent. They will speak through other people. They will find ways to get a message to you. And it's just, it's fun. I think it's something fun to do and fun to connect and just see what happens for you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're going to leave you all with a card pull from me. It was my turn to do the card pull today. And I am using the Psychic Tarot deck, which is the OG deck for me. I absolutely love it. I thought I would switch it up because I've been really into my new deck lately. So I thought I better go back to the basics here, which is really funny because that was kind of the message today. Whoa, all coming full circle again. So the very first card that came out was this light card. And it's like, it's the happiness, it's the sun, it's hope. And it's funny, when I started shuffling the cards so the cards would fly out like I do, the song Hold On For One More Day came through. So it was like, hold on for one more day. I was like, oh, that's kind of like, somebody needs to just hang in there. So there was definitely a theme with the cards here. So the theme was that things get started, there's passion ignited, or there's collaboration with someone else and things get momentum and then they get bored. Then they lose interest. And then there's no follow through. And then the intuition kicks in again. They're like, oh, well, let's do this new idea. And then you start something and then you remember what happened last time and you kind of get hard on yourself and you kind of get into those patterns again. So the message was, you need to go back to your roots and stop overcomplicating things. The best laid plans are the basic ones. So it's kind of funny, but this is what came through. Cheese is good on its own. Cheese is good. And then if you want to spice it up by, you know, jalapeno cheese, other things, that's good too. But you need to like master the basics first. Try not to overcomplicate things before they're ready to be. So let the seed take bloom before we start to make major shifts and come home to yourself. Ultimately, come home to yourself and what you feel you want to do and just keep it basic. That is honestly the best way things are going to flourish. And there will be success. There will be rejoice afterwards. Okay, so then I'm also looking at these cards, and then another message came through that was pretty specific. So I'm going to say this one too. It's funny how cards can deliver a couple messages and they're the exact same, but you see different things in those cards. So the second message I got was, there are false starts happening. You get excited and then there is a letdown again. There is momentum and you think you are working on, you think you're getting somewhere, and then there's a letdown again. So it's really disheartening, but you need to focus on your heart center. Maybe even light a candle and grieve the things that didn't work out for you. Grieve the loss. Get regrounded. Come back to who you are. Come back to your partner if things have fallen to the wayside, and know that you are stronger together. It takes two parts to make a baby. So you need the connection and the collaboration there. New beginnings and celebrations are to come. So that was also a message that came through after. And that's it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That was such a good message. You know how many unfinished projects I have? Like, insane. I get so excited about something and then I never follow through. So that was really good advice. Thank you.
So there are how many cards in a tarot deck? Okay, so there's four suits, major arcana cards, and there's the minor. So there's a lot of cards, okay? Every card that I pulled was between 1, 2, 3, and 4 pretty well.
Weird.
And then like I had 1, 6. So it was like all beginning. It was like, oh, we're starting and we're dying. And then, oh, new beginning. It was a 1 and a 2 and like getting momentum, and then it's off. It was so crazy. And I was like, what's with all these starts and then not finishes? Yeah, it was such an interesting message. But then, you know, the outcome was really good because it was rejoice and celebration, which is the 3 of cups, and new beginnings again, which is 0, but it's a major new beginning. Because it's the magician. So it's like that, the fool. So it's like that leap, like we're actually going to get things started. Focus on the hope, focus on the sun. Don't, like, all those things that didn't take off are just lessons. That's all it is. Just, okay, noted. Those are not the moves, or that's not what I want to do. That's all it is. Just data, nothing to beat up on. Keep trudging forward. That's the answer for sure. And whichever you're going through.
Yeah, that is great. And that is so fitting for spring too. You know, like with starting things, like the way the trees are starting to bud and the flowers, it's just, they don't give up. They're not like, yeah, I'm done with this. Yeah. It's like they follow through no matter if snow comes again or a windstorm comes, like they keep going. They trudge the path and they keep it simple. So that is a great message.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, make sure you, if you have Apple Podcasts or no, Spotify too, give us a 5-star review. That really helps us reach a lot of more people on our ratings.
Yes, we absolutely love that. And we thank anyone that has taken the time to do that, because it does really help us out in the podcast world. And even if you want to leave a review, if you love what we're doing, please do that as well, because it does mean the world to us.
Yes, we really appreciate it. And you can find us on our pages. Mine is Reiki with Manda, and we are both currently accepting bookings online. Or you can even just shoot us a DM and we can help you out with whatever you need. And Christy?
Yes. Yeah, and mine Instagram is The Birch Soul. And yeah, as well, I have my booking on there. If you have any questions about anything or just want to chat, yeah, shoot me a DM and we'll see what's up. And of course, our Instagram for our podcast is Living the Reiki Life on Instagram as well. And we post stuff about the episodes and the card polls and just random things as well. So it's fun to follow over there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time.
Yep. Have a good week. So Amanda and I have 2 special guests here to share with you, and they are the creators of a festival here in Saskatchewan called Held by Sisters. And we met Haley, one of the creators or founders of the festival, at the Foam Lake Wellness Expo, and we actually interviewed her for a podcast episode. That one is upcoming, so you want to stay tuned for that. It is amazing. And yeah, so we just sit down with them and they just chat about what the festival is all about. So enjoy.
So we have two lovely women who are going to talk about an amazing festival that is going on called Held by Sisters Festival. And it takes place this year on July 26th through to the 28th. And there is early entry on the 25th as well. So we have Sarah here and Haley, and they're just going to talk a little bit about the festival and maybe discuss the vendors that are going to be there. And if anybody wants to participate in this next year and get an entry, they can definitely keep it in mind. And if you want to participate, they will tell you all about it. So go ahead, ladies.
Okay. Thank you very much for having us. I'll just talk a little bit about how we came about the festival and kind of what the festival, I guess, is intended for everyone. And then I'll let Haley speak more on the vendors and those things because she is the master organizer behind all of that. So a couple of years ago, we came together and we really wanted there to be a festival that was inclusive to all women. And it was something that we didn't see in this area. And we were very called to have a safe space for all women to attend and to experience their spirituality, explore their gifts, share knowledge, stories, and just have a connection in a safe space. So through that, Held by Sisters was born. We decided December, I think it was, that we were doing it. And then we had it in July. So it was a very hectic few months. And then this year, we're like, we are doing it again. We have tons of knowledgeable presenters that come from all across Canada. And we have musicians, vendors, like you mentioned. And then we also have an amazing group of healers that provide services to those in attendance if they wish to purchase a service from them. So everything from Akashic record readings, Reiki, massage therapy, pretty much anything you can think of, we have someone there to support people through their spiritual journey.
Wow. That's amazing. And where is the festival being held?
It is being held at Hayland Grove, which is in Acreage outside of Yorkton. And the land was donated for us to use by the lovely ladies that own the acreage so that we could have all these women come and have a safe space and to connect. So it is a working acreage. So there's donkeys and geese and dogs and kitties and turkeys and pigs and everything in between. So that's also really magical and great. And they have a large section of the land that is all treed in and walking trails. So that is actually where our healers are located. So they're located pretty much in the forest in these little groves that are very treed in, secluded. It's very, very magical. And it's just a very beautiful spot. And we have been so lucky and blessed to have met these ladies and for them to offer up their home for us to put on this festival.
Wow. That sounds amazing. I love the idea of having like the forest and then like little spots in the forest. I would love that.
I actually thought of you, Christy.
Yeah.
I was like, this sounds like your magical haven. Like,
yeah, my little fairy soul would be so happy there. That is totally awesome.
Yes, lovely.
Yeah, there's so many like different, this year I think we have over 12 healers and we have them all throughout. There's also even affordable boudoir photography and even just like empowering mini sessions that are regular photography that we have by another photographer, and we have the event covered as well. So then it's really nice to see all the magic in the photos. I know even when we're like posting them and stuff, just like all the feels come back from it. And it's just super magical to see all these women coming together and supporting one another. I know this year we're expecting to have a little bit more than last year, as our market is completely full. We have, I think, over 20, maybe even more than 20. I think we might be on the lower end side of that, and having over 40 presentations or ceremonies and groups. We're actually having this event catered this year for one meal on Saturday. So that's also a nice extra kind of come together for the community. And yeah, we're really excited for this year. We're hoping to have a few more. We do have a cap at 175 for people, so it is a little bit of a smaller event just to keep everything still pretty intimate. And yeah, just kind of see what happens with all the different things. We have very many different presentations this year. There's a few people who came back from last year, so they're offering something completely different or slightly different. So that's also exciting to see them change. And this year, Sarah is facilitating the Red Tent, is something also we added.
The Red Tent, would that be like the book, The Red Tent, like women coming together in the Red Tent? Is that?
Yes. So I actually haven't read the book, The Red Tent. I have attended Red Tent events and participated in them and helped lead them. And I guess the slight difference between what our Red Tent will be is, like, once again, it is a space for all women, whether they bleed or not. So we will be, it'll be a pre-sign up event just because the tent will not be that large. So we should be able to fit in between 12 to 16 people in the tent. It will happen 2 times a day where we will all gather and we will reflect, share stories, discuss how the moon cycles and the energies affect our energy, and just really connect and rest and restore and have the support that is needed through everyone's stories and sharing knowledge. Wow.
That sounds awesome. And it's so beautiful that you guys have created this festival. I totally see a need for it because of, like, other festivals out there. I've been to one and it just didn't really align to what I was looking for. It was more on like the party side, I guess, like not like, you know, looking within and going within and learning more about yourself and, like, meeting other like-minded people. So, like, you guys created, like, something that I would love to come to one day. Like, this sounds so magical and, like, so needed in the world right now with so many people waking up. I just feel like people starting their spiritual journeys, and to be able to go spend, like, a weekend with like-minded women, that just sounds amazing.
Yes, thank you so much. And I'd also like to add that we have really strived to have a variety of knowledge be presented. So we have everything from voice activation to hypnosis, which Haley's doing, Rise of the Dark Feminine. We also have practitioners that will be doing presentations on religious trauma and how they have come out of that and have found spirituality, witchcraft. So it's meant for everyone. There is something for everyone there. And we just really strive to have a space where we open our arms to everyone and to come to a non-judgmental space and just speak your truth, be authentic, and you will be supported through that at the festival.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So this is quite the intimate event. So tickets probably go pretty quick, I'm guessing. Are tickets still available for this year?
Yes, tickets are still available for this year. We still have probably around 100 for sale. We're almost at that halfway mark with all the other people who are coming as well. So our tickets are $297, and that includes the meal, that includes camping on site, whether it's in a camper or a tent. or even your vehicle. That includes access to everything. The only extra cost would be if they went to any of the healers or bought anything at the market or got photography done by one of the people that are offering it. But other than that, everything is completely covered in there. We try to really make it affordable for everybody. We have different stages every year when we release them. So people who truly, truly want to be there can come there and get their tickets for super affordable. And we do also have on our site payment options. So it breaks it down into four, and those are interest free as well. And tickets will be on sale until the beginning of July. So there is still, or until they sell out. We definitely recommend the earlier the better, just to make sure that they aren't sold out. But we try to keep it updated on our Instagram as well.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And what is your Instagram handle, just so we can share it with? Well, I'll put in the show notes as well.
Held by Sisters.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
So good. And you think about if you were to attend all those seminars that are being held individually, like this is a steal of a deal to go to this weekend. Wow. What an offer and what an amazing opportunity for people and for women to be held by other women and just support other women and learn. That's so, so needed and beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
So since the vendor space is all full this year, how could people apply for it next year?
Yes, so we open up our applications November, and we let them go until the new year. And yeah, so there's only a limited amount of spaces, but we will post our applications on our Linktree or Facebook or Instagram, and we'll have them also linked on our website for next year. So we have just a small window. We take everybody in, and then at the end, we review them to see who would be the best fit for 2025.
Awesome. Thank you. And what like a great opportunity too. Like you can network and meet other people that you wouldn't necessarily meet just doing your regular things. So yeah, I just love that.
Yes, that's the biggest thing too. There's been so many relationships blossomed from this festival that it's crazy. Like we love seeing vendors or attendees making these relationships with other vendors or attendees. And we just love seeing the friendships blossom, businesses kind of come to collaboration. It's really nice to see that we were making a positive effect on the community.
Yes, it's definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.